So I think what I have explained here is ambitious, and it really is going to take some personal mastery. We're talking about a time when you are looking at the possibility of some of the realest goals you've ever had being within reach, and a time when you can actually think of completely new things that you want to do, or resurrect some of the old beautiful ideals that you have had your whole life and actually make strides to making them happen. And this is not necessarily going to be easy. And one of the things that you are going to need to do is stay in balance. You are going to need to maintain your focus and be able to apply yourself every single day, even on the days when you don't quite believe in what you've set out to do, or when things seem challenging or difficult, or when, you know, there's a lot of things that happen on the way to doing great things, and they're not all wonderful, and it's not easy every day, and some days it's amazing and satisfying, and you know where you're headed, or you know what you've accomplished, and a lot of the time you need to go on kind of on instincts and know, trust that you are heading in the right direction. But all of this requires balance, and it's challenging to stay in balance on this planet. And one of the things that makes it challenging to stay in balance is other people's stuff. We all have our own stuff to deal with, and that would be more than adequate for staying in balance. But your charts are suggesting that you also have a fair amount of exposure to and vulnerability to the material of other people. And one theme keeps coming up over and over again, and it's kind of a specific theme, but it's common enough that it, you know, we've all been touched by this in some way. But I'm just going to throw it out to you and see if it actually means something. One of the things that you are the most vulnerable to are the substance abuse problems of other people. Not your substance abuse problems, not your addictive tendencies, but rather a tendency to have in your life other people who have some kind of a specific problem with the abuse of or dependency on a substance that then somehow infiltrates your life, whether you are in the role of rescuer or whatever that is, enabler, whatever, not necessarily. It's just there. And it may be mysterious how it's there. It is likely to be genetic in origin. That is to say, there's likely to be some influence in your family that's playing itself out. But whatever the source is, and whatever, you know, process you use to work through it, probably better territory for therapy, assuming this is even happening at all, which there's a possibility that it's not, but it's appearing so many times in the charts that I have to put some focus on it, is to be aware, at least, that this is happening. And one of the really interesting things about the Mercury retrograde that takes place from June 7th through July 1st, and because it mostly takes place in your sign, and while the sun is in your sign, this whole Mercury retrograde is a kind of a revelation for you and tells something of the story of the year that's unfolding. And because it's a retrograde, there is almost a reflection of a lifetime issue, lifetime theme, that this is a moment when the contrast is heightened and when you may be able to see something that you normally cannot see that clearly. And of course, for seeing, contrast definitely helps. You know, unless all you want to see is color, and then even then, there's contrast within the subtlety of color. But here, you have this high contrast moment where you're likely to be able to recognize things that you couldn't necessarily recognize before. And one of the ways to recognize the potential for a, you know, a theme here, valid theme, is any time your relationships take you off of your chosen path. They take you out of your ability to function. They sap your energy in some way, and you're no longer feeling strong enough to do what you have to do, or the relationship itself is actually a point of competition where there is some perceived conflict between your relating to a person and your ability to get anything done or get done everything you need to get done. The competition could be about time. It could be jealousy or thematic in some way, whatever it might be. If there is some tension between the intimate personal relationship side of your life and the professional development side of your life, then you know you've got something to look at and work with. Ideally, there would be no competition whatsoever. And I recognize that there are, you know, often in our lives we have to, you know, there, I'm not talking about the kind of thing where, you know, you have to pick the kids up or something like that, or, you know, a partner has some thing they want to do, and to do that you need to take a little time off or rearrange your schedule. I'm not talking about that. I really mean in the more existential sense of the existence of something in some relationship, and it might be a friendship, not necessarily an intimate partnership, or both, competes existentially with your desire, need, and intention to be the person you need to be to accomplish what you want to accomplish. So that's what I mean when I say this is not just about mere occasional circumstances that come and go, but rather it is about almost like there's two competing spheres of existence. And one of the ways to tell that there is subject matter that falls into this, another thing to way to perceive this is if you make moves that drive you either based on your values or make choices so that you can live your values out in a more whole way, and there is some competition from seemingly an external source, that is something to look at. And one of the qualities of your charts in these years, and this is one of the long-term influences, happens to be in Capricorn, and that is Pluto in Capricorn. And one of the ways that Capricorn manifests in your chart is the sign and house associated with committed long-term bonding. And because you have Capricorn there, that's called the eighth house, you are likely to want real permanence. You're likely to want structure and integrity and a sense of your own personal tradition with someone. The thing is that this sense of personal tradition is changing very rapidly owing to the presence of Pluto and all the planets that are currently working with Pluto. And in addition, there is some element of power here. And it's important that you look for when others seem to hold power over you. So we might add that to the checklist of things that say, well, you know there's a theme here, a valid theme to look at if there seems to be someone in a position of power over you. And that could be any number of kinds of power, one of which might be financial power, another one of which might be emotional or sexual power. There is an inherently dishonest thing when someone holding power uses that power in such a way for emotional manipulation, basically. That's very rarely done honestly, where someone admits that they know that you are responding to them as if they are in power. And so if you feel like someone has power over you or is using power in an unfair way, that's worth checking out. Now, it would, of course, help immensely if you were to shift these roles around in some way and step out of any form of any paradigm where you are or perceive yourself as being a victim. And the best way to do that is to be clear about your options and be clear about the choices that you need to make that are based more on or entirely on what you value rather than any values that are being imposed on you. So that's another way to measure this. Now, the thing is that all matters of relationship can have this way of bleeding over or mingling with matters of your profession. And so this is where it's essential that you be able to sort out your own individual goals versus some influence that some other person might have on your goals, that you be able to sort out your own vision from some imposed vision that someone might have on you. I would also propose that collaboration is important, but one of the things that collaboration is about is honesty about the mingling of goals and the mingling of ideas, rather than the imposition of goals and ideas. And so keeping a metric, having the ability to see and notice, measure when you're feeling a certain way, have a kind of a benchmark, or know that there are these things that, you know, might come up. Say, for example, if you feel overpowered, or if you feel as if someone is intentionally trying to bring you down, or if you feel as if your involvement with someone is just going nowhere, but this is using up a huge amount of energy, be conscious of that and notice how often things happen so that you can at least say to yourself that you know what you know based on the following facts that you are keeping track of. And this, again, is one of those themes that shows up in numerous different ways. One of the most important ways it may show up is money and whether you feel like your money really is your money, or whether you feel that you have some kind of a weakness or vulnerability there, and then someone else is being able to impose their will, but the leverage that they're using is leverage that is specifically about money. So one of the most important boundaries you can set is that you have your own money and that you give yourself the ability to make financial decisions on your own, having nothing to do with anyone else. This probably is going to mean if you're in some kind of a householding relationship with a partner, that you have your own money, that your projects, whatever they might be, are financed independently of the relationship. So there's not any way that someone can impose their will on your creative intentions based on money. And there's a lot of ways this might manifest. You want to get this job, it's really what you want to do, but it pays less than the job you currently have, which will require your maybe being able to contribute less, or the perception of that, or someone maybe is benefiting from you being in the position of being the higher earner, and then that would challenge them in some way. There's all kinds of ways this balancing act might play itself out, and you'll need to obviously be creative and study your own personal circumstances and see the ways this might fit for you. But that's the general description of what's up. Now, as regards the substance matter, this manifests pretty much left, right, and center. And the thing about issues involving substances is that after a certain number of generations, or after the actual addressing the physical substance itself, for example, alcohol, is dealt with and people have either stopped drinking or stopped drinking habitually, many times the emotional patterns still play out. And these emotional patterns tend to go back generations, and that is something to be extremely mindful of. And so you're likely to get a look at this and a look at the tendencies and a look at the patterns, and remember that they might involve some overt thing like someone you care about just drinking beyond any point where it's vaguely productive or useful or even pleasurable, or there is some pattern associated with, for example, something that was existing in a relationship with a parent, something that they have involved in a relationship with a parent. They might be an adult child of an alcoholic. There's a number of different possibilities, and there is a hint that there is a multi-generational quality to all of this and to look carefully at it. I mentioned in some of the promo material that there is a point in your charts present called Chaos. Chaos is one of the creator deities, very, very high level deity in Greek mythology. And what's interesting is that Chaos, a slow mover, orbit of about 300 years, is in a square to Borysici and Chiron. And one of the, well, my delineation of Chaos is that unless you are able to tap true creative chaos, that kind of like fractal theory kind of chaos, the kind of chaos that says you need to not be so caught up in a regimented mode of thinking, but rather allow yourself to feel your molecules moving and see patterns that nobody else can see, I would call that healthy chaos. And unless you're able to tap into healthy chaos, you're going to be more susceptible to what I would consider to be unhealthy chaos, crazy making, vulnerability to others who are committed to not having their lives in order. And it is very important that you question what the role of anyone in any disruptive pattern in your life is doing for you, what they're doing there, and possibly the ways in which you're benefiting from that, with sometimes a lot of quotes around benefiting. Like, for example, if you're afraid of very high creative goals, then sometimes it can help to have a person in your life who makes sure that you don't meet those goals, and that becomes the function of the relationship. And so if you see that, you now have a chance to make a decision and not be stuck in that anymore. And sometimes all you really have to do is to see that for what it is, and that can lead to a series of decisions that actually set you on the path that you want to be on. And there's no doubt that the astrology you're experiencing right now is influential enough, powerful enough, that the scenario being shown is big enough that you have the opportunity to do this. So just to reiterate that chaos factor, it's going to be a presence in your life one way or the other, whether it's tapping into creative chaos and the ability to harness some very deep primal energy within yourself, or if you're not able to go there and tap that, it can manifest in a different way as disruption. And so this is one of those things where you need to choose what side of that fence that that you want to be on. Now, there is a theme. I mentioned money and the power of money. This the theme of finances shows up in a way that is essential to both your work and your partnerships. I mentioned the need for financial independence in your partnerships, but now let's talk about the value that your work has, what you are able to charge for your work, or whether you're compensated for your work at all. And the message as I see it is that you are making a transition from doing what you do for money, knowing that we have to live, right? It costs money to live, and it's certainly better to make money doing what you like to do than doing what you don't like to do. To doing things ever increasingly for their own sake. Now, that's not to say that you're not also going to do them for money, but there is a need to submit to the process of the creativity and to the tasks at hand and to the value of the work itself as something that nourishes you psychically and spiritually and emotionally rather than doing anything for money. And this is a very fine line to walk, except when it's not. And when it's not is when there is a moment where you realize that this is just what you do. It's no longer what you aspire to. It's no longer what you wish you were doing. It's no longer what you would be happy doing if you were compensated better for it. Rather, it is just simply what you do, and you do it because you do it. You're not doing it for financial purposes. And that moment is coming. And part of that moment coming involves full immersion in the value of your ideas. And one of the things that you are blessed with as a Gemini is a gift for language. And while this has often been attributed to Mercury, which is the god of communication, being the ruler of Gemini, I think that is partly true. But I think there is something that, when you look at the layout of the solar chart, is much more obvious. And that something is that having Gemini on the first house gives you Cancer on the second house and gives you Leo on the third house. The third house is the house of writing and communications, and Leo is probably the most powerful sign in the zodiac because it is the sign that the sun rules, and it is the sign associated with not only seeking glory, but also a core connection to the vital force and also a core connection to service. I know that Leo has a reputation of being more about, you know, how impressive things are rather than about the service that they perform. But my take on Leo, you might think of it as the esoteric aspect of Leo, is that there is a profound calling to service, and part of the way that calling manifests is through excellence. And where you have this excellence is in your third house of language, and what is about to happen there is that Jupiter is about to enter Leo. This happens in, I guess, within 2 months from right now, and it's going to last for a year, and Jupiter is not going to make a retrograde back into Cancer. It's just going to stay in Leo till it leaves, and what you get there is a connection to your gift of language, but also this idea of a common language with others. And so there is something that seems to fall into place, or that shifts, where the success starts to come with the ability to communicate with others with whom you either share common goals or who are going to be allies to you in meeting your own goals. And so on that sensitive theme of metrics and relationships, when you will know that things either are not or are supportive of what you're doing, one of those themes is whether you are actually feeling like you're able to actually communicate with people and build ideas rather than anything else. And this can manifest in a number of different ways, including in intimate partnerships, but also in working relationships where you are being granted, in a sense, the ability to have this open field of ideas and communications that is very much a shared field. It is a common area, but it's sort of like everyone's still landing in your airport. So it's almost like you're the place where people come to hang out. Your house is where people come and hang out. And it's definitely everyone coming and hanging out as equals and contributing, and everyone brings something. And there is overall positive energy flow and good vibes, but it's still in your house. And so this is because the third house tends to be very close to home, and this is where this activity is going to take place in your chart. And so one of the things that this also implies is that you take ownership of all the ideas that surround you and that come your way, and that you dedicate yourself to putting them to work, that you be the person with the initiative, you be the one with the business plan, that you be the one who is ultimately the one who maintains authorship over what you are doing. And the reason is because, you know, even though it's possibly the contributions of many people, it's still happening as a result of your sphere of personal influence. There's something about the fact that this is your space, that you're the activating force in all of this. And so this is another way of saying that it would be very helpful if you give your relationships the purpose of supporting what you do. One of the worst pitfalls in relationships is giving them the purpose of some form of healing or a spiritual practice. And I know that in our kind of new age influenced lexicon of how, you know, relationships are sacred and they're a sacred place and they're sacred contracts and all the sacredness about them, that is actually, in my opinion, a trap, and that relationships are not the appropriate place to do healing practice and therapy. Rather, the healer, healing table, healing office, therapist office, that's the appropriate place to do the healing work and to do the therapy, and that the relationship have another affirmative purpose that's not so, what you might think of as mired in its own stuff, that's more more focused on something that is goal-oriented. And though there will remain that challenge of having to extract yourself from, you know, the dramas of others and possibly the need to fix others, that's a really big trap on the spiritual relationship model, that as the year progresses, and particularly as the Northern Hemisphere summer progresses, we get into July and August, you're likely to see that you have options, and that these options feel good. They feel familiar and productive and useful, rather than in any way being emotionally mired. And when all someone knows about is this property of relationships, you know, being about fixing, being about emotionally caught up in someone else and needing to improve yourself, and fixing's constant emphasis on self-improvement, we don't necessarily know that there is something better until we discover that something better. And what I'm suggesting here is that something better is manifesting. It will be available for you if you stretch a little bit and seek it out, or believe that it's possible, or make choices in that direction. And that may specifically involve, it's certainly actually going to specifically involve, choosing something other than what does not feel right, what does not support you. Because it's essential right now for your success and happiness that you get all of the different facets of who you are and the different aspects of your life. If you think of them as being on some level theoretically different things, you know, your personal life, your home life, your relationship life, your working relationships, your career, your goals, your sense of belonging and security, all of that. If you start to think of those as all being one expression, one thing about who you are. Maybe we could say with different expressions, but all coming from the same common core of who you are. As you reach into that core and as you feel better, you're likely to notice that there is the option to have less competition and more cooperation, less emoting and more productive creativity. And you're likely to see the contrast when others are positioning themselves or when you put them in position in such a way that distracts you from that core. So what I'm suggesting here, among a few other things, and what is a marvelously complicated chart that I'm doing my best to make simple, and I don't know for sure that I'm succeeding, doesn't really feel like it, but who knows, is that you be very conscious of those contrasts and that you notice when you are being drawn into something that is habitual, that you notice when you are being taken away from something that is more delicate and more fragile. And often these frontiers of our lives are fragile. They are very difficult to cultivate. I've been through enough creative metamorphoses in my life that I've seen the ways in which they can be, these frontiers can be extremely vulnerable to distraction. To give one example, I am an adult music student, and I also run a company, and then I do a lot of this kind of creative spiritual work that I'm doing right now. And it is very challenging to keep my focus on my music, and I'm aware that that's partly because it's not fully propagated, and so I have to make time and make space and design my life in such a way that facilitates doing music and recognize what resources I can apply to that, knowing that it's not going to happen as automatically as I might sit down at the computer and answer 15 emails and take an hour answering 15 emails. I don't even need to think about that. I can do it practically in any state of mind and do it well. So when there is a growth frontier, particularly if it involves skills that you're building or things that you're not feeling totally confident about, it's significantly, majorly, very important to know what takes you out of that, to know what brings you into it, to recognize the partnerships that facilitate what you want to do, to recognize the partnerships that don't facilitate, that might actually be completely contrary to what you want to do, and make continuous choices on an ongoing basis. And this may require rising above certain expectations that relationships have, expectations that you have on relationships. There's a lot of Neptune and Bacchus in your charts right now, which is saying that you really might be inclined to want to go out and have a good time a lot of the time. You're a very social person, and that may be something that you need to specifically shift and bring your social life in line with the goals that you have, which may mean associating socially with people who have similar needs and desires to structure their lives in a certain way. If you're an artist, it is one thing to socialize with other artists and who understand their need for inner focus and their need to stoke their creativity and their need to not be distracted from their work. And it's another thing to socialize with people who don't really care about those things, who are indeed trying to distract themselves from doing those very things. And so among the many things that you get to choose now, and there's all kinds of planets on the edge right now, particularly Venus and Mercury are going to be doing this very interesting dance as your chart develops over the year, that you take these opportunities to recognize that you have the ability to make choices, and that if you think of every choice you make as something that either supports your most heartfelt goals or is a choice that is working against your most heartfelt goals, you will have a set of values that you can fall back on, that you can depend upon to make the right choice. And it may seem that there's not that much in each individual decision and choice, but actually that is the only way these micro decisions, these micro maneuvers, these small subtle observations, excuse me, I've got a little frog in my throat here, I'll take a breath, ultimately are as important or more important than these seemingly large decisions that we make, the decision of what country to live in or what job to take, that the day-to-day, hour-to-hour, minute-to-minute choices of ways we guide our lives and build, I think this is the most significant thing, especially where there are challenging goals and especially challenging creative goals, the way we shape the habits, literally habituate our lives so that everything is in service of what we want the most. And from there, it starts to add up to a direction, movement in that one large way that you really want to go. All right, so I'm going to call it a night here and pick up again in the morning and do your tarot spread. I do prefer to sleep on that and let my unconscious brew on all these things I've brought up and or stirred up, and then look at the cards, and I'm on a fresh mind and a new, different technique. Look at some pictures. Okay, with that, I bid you good night, and I will catch you in a digital instant.
Don't know.